This is Reception Perception, the show. Now, James Coe and Matt Harmon.
Buy or sell in Detroit, Jameson Williams, this resurgence that we have seen for 2 weeks in a row now.
Yeah, I'm buying. Not buying that like he's going to be the most productive receiver on the team. I think obviously St. Brown will take that back. You know, he has 200 receiving yards on the season, does Jameson Williams. But he's legit, man. I really think he's legit. You know, when we talked about him extensively in the offseason, my take was, you know, for all of the kind of some of the negative indicators in his profile, some of the positive indicators in his profile, I basically said, like, I don't have a strong take about how this one is going to go. The one thing I felt, though, was that he would not crack the top five, or he would be the fifth option, you know, in the offense.
Yeah, where right.
They have two good backs. They have another back in Jahmyr Gibbs that they want to throw the ball to, you know, and he actually has the exact same target share, first-read target share, this year as last year, so that role has remained consistent. And then they have Sam Laporta and they have Amon-Ra St. Brown, so that left JMO as the fifth option in the offense when you account for the running backs and the run game and the whole thing. That's the thing that I'm taking the L on that take, because I think he is at this point clearly been ahead of Sam Laporta, and obviously. You know, it's the same. Yeah, obviously. Breaking news, did you draft Sam Laporta on your fantasy team? You definitely hate Jameson Williams.
Totally.
You for sure hate Jameson Williams. I mean, when you look right now at their first read targets in from fantasy points data in 2023, Amon-Ra St. Brown, 34.9%. Sam Laporta, 19.9%. Jameson Williams and Josh Reynolds were both 11.5%. Obviously, Williams didn't play the full season. Jahmyr Gibbs at 10.3%. Like I mentioned, this year, it's Jameson Williams, team high, 34.5%. Amon-Ra St. Brown, 31%. Jahmyr Gibbs, like I said, identical, 10.3%. Sam Laporta, 8.6%.
Wow.
That is a big, big drop-off.
Wow.
It's more than 50% lost in terms of first read targets. Now, I say that this has happened. I do wonder if it is going to continue to happen, James, because I don't think the Lions' offense has been great through 2 weeks.
No,
I think they've been a little topsy-turvy,
sure.
A little bit inconsistent. So I kind of wonder if Sam Laporta, you know, being minimized has actually not been good for this offense. And like, certainly in week one, St. Brown was not, and what do you have, like 19 targets last week? So that's going to obviously boost the whole season total. But obviously in week one, he was not a big factor.
Right.
I kind of wonder if Ben Johnson and Jared Goff go back to the film and they say, hey, look at all these layups like Sam Laporta here. Maybe we need to get back to those and not be so JMO obsessed. Although clearly he's a good player and will continue to be involved in the offense, and he should be.
That was the point that I wanted to bring up, was the fact that this offense is actually worse for wear because they have fed Jameson Williams 20 targets through two games. And despite the fact that he's been extremely productive from a counting stats standpoint, his 50% catch rate is very indicative of why some of these drives are stalling, right? So I think, to me, when Detroit is clicking and when Detroit is playing good football, it is not because they're making splash plays. As a matter of fact, that's never, I don't want to say never, but the splash plays are different, is what I should say, in terms of, okay, it's Amon-Ra giving you 15 yards on the catch and then maybe 10 yards on the after catch, or Sam Laporta giving you 7 or 8 yards on the initial catch and then picking up an extra 10 with his legs. These are the kind of splash plays that I think Dan Campbell and Ben Johnson and the Detroit Lions, when they are running hot and they're running good, that's the kind of drives that they want. Not these deep overs and Jameson Williams connecting on a 40-yard bomb, right? Like, that's not, first of all, that's not Jared Goff's game. We know that. And I just don't think, I think there's been a little bit of a disconnect through two games where, you know, again, it's, maybe you see this guy streaking open super deep down the field, but I just wonder, because again, that 50% catch rate, I just wonder if this team is now worse for wear because of it, because maybe they are sitting back there looking for deeper shots when they really shouldn't be.
Well, I think a couple things can be true at once, which I do, you know, this is a team in Detroit that it's similar. We give teams like San Francisco a pass at this point in the year because, okay, what really matters for them is December, is January, and obviously, hopefully for them, into February.
Mm-hmm.
I think we got to talk about the Lions in the same way. I think they were my pick to win the Super Bowl this year. I think they're a Super Bowl team contender for sure. You know, and I think a lot of what they're doing right now is a continuation to build on what they did in the offseason, which was hype Jameson Williams to the moon and get this guy engaged with the program. Again, total guesswork, but
I like
it's
that
similar
though.
To what we talked
I
about
like
with
that,
George Pickens, though.
Yep,
right? Like,
I like that,
dude,
though.
I come back to the week one game against Sunday Night Football against the Rams, and the post-game interview with Jameson Williams really stuck out to me where, I mean, he is like, he's bopping up and down. He's hyped up. He's really amped. He's like kind of dancing around.
Uh-huh.
And he talked about this. He said to the sideline reporter, you know, he talked about the faith that Dan Campbell and Jared Goff showed in him and how much that meant to him and how much that, you know, kind of, assuming here, got him to buy in. This is a guy that has been a little aloof. The gambling suspension hasn't been really locked in because of injuries and all these other things at times. And then they start feeding him at the end of last year. They hype him up all offseason. And so what do? You come out in week one and week two and you're like, dude, yeah, this isn't BS. This isn't nonsense. We're feeding you the ball. Like, you're a part of this thing. You're going to be a big part of our offense. And so I think that's been a concerted effort. And again, this is September. These are not the most important games for the Detroit Lions. Like, but you shouldn't have lost that game against Tampa Bay. You don't want to be messing around. You're losing now at this point, especially
right,
at home.
Right.
Let's be clear. Like, I'm not saying this is a perfect strategy. You got to win the football games. But, you know, I think that's part of it. I think they're kind of keeping him engaged. They're kind of keeping him locked in. So maybe as the season goes on, we cut, you know, Jared Goff 7.5 average depth of target this year. He was at 7.0 last year. Maybe we bring that back a little bit. I do think when you look at dropback success rate, James, the Lions are 22nd. The two teams that they are sandwiched between are the Jaguars and the Colts. We just talked about the Colts and the very boom-bust nature of their pass game. And the Trevor Lawrence leads all quarterbacks in deep throw percentage, and it's nothing but like Les Chuckerton, Gabe Davis, and Brian Thomas. Hey, those guys are down there somewhere. You know, that's their pass game right now. That's not the Lions. So I wonder if by the end of the season they get back to what their kind of bread and butter it is, as we're saying here.